Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Online, sunburymotors.com. Fabulous new inventory. Ford, Kia, Hyundai with great warranties. Warranty means a lot. Fabulous pre-owned inventory with the all-important Sunbury Motors guarantee that go over every vehicle. And a terrific service department that takes care of the life of the vehicle. All at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Online at sunburymotors.com. All right. Time now for our play-by-play call of the day, and even those bring with them rants.
Robbins uses big frame, hooked up a little bit. Bornstrom fins through him. Henrik Bornstrom centers Vecchione, rolled down low, bouncing around. Bornstrom after it, in front, they score! They score! Mike Vecchione! The Bears have done it! They are Calder Cup champions! The Hershey Bears, for the 12th time in franchise history, it's sweeter by the dozen.
Went out last night and won. They were down 2-0 in that game last night. I watched some of it.
And 2-0 in the series, too. Came back, won all three games at home, lost game six, and then were down 2-0 last night and won it overtime in game seven last night.
Yeah, down 2-0 because they lost 2 on the road. I'm
not correct, sure. Yeah. But by a combined score of 9-0.
Yeah. Happens. But they come back, win the series, win the Calder Cup. And good call there. It's great to see them as AHL champions. Well, that can't be your only complaint. You only had one. I mean, I talked about the draft, kept the show straight, you know, in the second half hour.
Well, the other one is baseball-related that I had for today. And once again, it is the gift that keeps on giving in Rob Manfred, who, again, should just needs to stop talking. He calls today giving Astro players immunity not my best decision.
Oh, my almighty!
Oh, gee, you think, Rob? I mean, okay. Good Lord. This guy just doesn't get it.
Well,
still. Even when he's right, he's wrong.
Yeah.
It's like watching somebody fall down the stairs constantly.
I mean, do I think from 30,000 feet I know what the objective was? Yeah, I think I do know what the objective was. But I think the objective was two-part. All right? Name the one area where management has unfettered discipline. What area is that? Okay, I'll answer it. Right. On management, coaches, general managers, they can discipline them any way they want. What's the area they don't, that they have restrictions on discipline?
Well, that I know, the players.
That's right, because they have a collective bargaining agreement. There is no collective bargaining agreement for GMs, coaches, managers, none. Okay? So he took the part where he would have the most trouble doling out discipline and decided to give that part immunity, which would then give him complete cooperation from the players to get to the bottom of it. kind of looked at it and went, I don't know about that. I'm not so sure I would do that. But that probably, if I'm guessing, that probably was the thought process. Okay? I can control management. So I can suspend A.J. Hinch. I can suspend Alex Cora. I can suspend Carlos Beltran. I can suspend Jeff Luhnow. I can fine. And you notice what the fine was for Houston. That was restricted. That's a restricted number. But I can fine Jim Crane. If I'm going to the players, I can't. There's not much I can do about them. It's limited. I can't. Hey, you're suspended for a season. There's no way you'd be allowed under the collective bargaining agreement to suspend them for a season. I mean, their guidelines are mostly around 80 games for PEDs and things like that. Not this. And I think that may have played in that current mindset. You always have to put yourself back in the mindset of what they were dealing with at the time. And I'm wondering aloud whether that played a role as how they decided to do this. Because obviously the Astros have been everybody's target on the road and should be. I mean, it should be. I'll say this. They also got to the bottom of it faster, if you notice. I mean, they did get to the bottom of it faster because, in part, because they probably gave all that immunity and got the story from everybody, right?
Yeah, that's valid.
Instead of stonewalling, stalling attorneys, and it's like, okay, great. I mean, for goodness sakes, if it were a federal investigation, it'd still be going on. It's like, how many years are we going to do this? God, I got to wrap this thing up in 5 weeks. It's 5 years. The Phillies, by the way, lost to the Braves 5-1 today. And everything was in the 10th inning. The game was scoreless in the 10th. And so they started with the designated runner. And 5 runs scored. Yikes.
Including a bad error from Kyle Schwarber, I guess. He dropped a very catchable fly ball, too.
Yeah. Now, when they had their chance, it was... let's face it. Ozuna got it, Harris got a single. He knocked in Hilliard. Riley singled. Harris and Acuna both scored. Ozuna hit a 2-run homer. This is all in the 10th inning. And then the Phillies got a run back on a sac fly by Alec Bohn, who got Realmuto in. But they get swept in the two games. The other game will be made up September 11th, the one that was postponed yesterday. Arizona beat Washington 5-3. Davey Martinez got thrown out of the game. I guess he laid down in the field. He was mad. Cleveland beat Oakland 6-1. The Twins get a split of their series with the Red Sox, winning 6-0. Yankees have another home game tonight. They're 80th. Oh, they got Domingo Germán on tonight.
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
That's great. Last night, one of the guys for the Spikes picked up the rosin, tossed it down.
Uh-oh.
And I said, Joe, it's really great. I said, major league players will always help out younger players. I think Germán donated a bunch of rosin bags to the league, didn't he?
You're 2 for 2 now. I like it.
And the Giants are down 3-0 to the Padres at the end of 2 in the one game that's going on right now. Pirates are at Miami tonight. The odds of a sellout there are long. And there you go. You're up to date on baseball. And the NBA draft is tonight. I wonder whether it is easier for scouts to scout European players, or if it's more difficult as opposed to college players. you know, like, for the most part, guys like Luka Doncic, Victor Wembanyama, you know, even all the way back to a guy like Tony Parker, for example. It's a mix, but some of the people they're playing against are men and not other kids. So I wonder if it does give you a better feel for that player. And many Europeans, you don't want to completely stereotype, but they play very much a pass-shoot team-oriented game. And many of the European players I've seen come over here, not all, but many of them come over here and have really strong fundamentally. College players, again, it's the one-and-done thing. I will say this, I don't think you can put a price on having somebody out there every day with Bill Self, or previously Mike Krzyzewski, or previously Roy Williams, or previously Jay Wright, people like that along the way. I don't think you put a price on that. I think they instill defense. They instill fundamentals. I think the further removed they are from an AAU experience, the better. You know, AAU is not the great evil. It is not the great evil. But at the same time, it does promote. I'm trying to showcase my talent here. I mean, that's why I'm playing. So I've got to show what I can do. I mean, and I understand that. I get that part. But once you get on a team and it's instilled in team concept, and especially in practice, the fundamentals you need to succeed at this game at a very high level, you can't put a price on the top coaches in the country. You know, and I see, for example, you know, watching, you know, I'll give Mike Rhodes. The Mike Rhodes, very much a stickler for fundamentals, just like Micah was. Micah is a stickler for fundamentals. And that does make a good draft choice. Now, that may end up being a second-round pick. Hey, but it's not like this week we've talked about Draymond Green, we've talked about Nikola Jokic. What do they both have in common? They're both champions, and they're both second-round picks. And Matt doesn't like either one of them. So, 3 for 3 on similarities. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Want to work for a stable yet growing company? Got it. Want to work for a family-owned business with over 100 years' experience in taking care of customers and employees? Got it. Want to work for a leader in selling more cars and satisfying more customers? Got it. Who has all that? SMC Sunbury Motor Company is looking for technicians across all their departments. Whether you're an entry-level technician, an experienced technician, or someone looking for a career change, Sunbury Motors would love to hear from you. They're looking for technicians for their quick lane, car and light truck service, heavy truck service, body shop, and frame and alignment division. You can apply online at sunburymotors.com, in person at our North 4th Street location, or call Todd at 570-286-7746. Your new career of working on Fords, Kias, Hyundais, Western Star trucks, plus anything that fits in the door, and some things that don't. Join Sunbury Motors. Your new career is waiting for you.
You don't like either player.
Yeah. Not really.
What do you have against Jokic?
Oh, well, Jokic has actually grown on. I like him as a player, and I actually do think, honestly, that he is the best passer in the game. I really do.
I mean, you've ripped him for 3 years. Wins the MVP? No, oh, undeserving. Wins the MVP again? No, oh, he's horrible. Wins the championship? Can't stand him. I give you credit. You're consistent.
I try.
I worry about you. All right. So, the NBA draft is tonight. You'll see a couple of guys like Kobe Bufkin, Michigan. He may be a late lottery pick. And Jalen Hood-Schifino, Indiana. And why is Jalen Hood-Schifino a higher pick than Trayce Jackson-Davis? And that's just because it is the way the game is played today. It's the style of game that the NBA has. And while I think Trayce Jackson-Davis is going to find his way onto a team, a guy like Hood-Schifino, who's a driver and a shooter, I think is, he might get picked somewhere in the teens. He could even be a late lottery pick. And do I think he's a very good player? I think he's a very good player. Do I think he's a great player? No. But I think he's very good. Bufkin is a guy I expected to be drafted by the NBA, but did I even remotely think that he was a late lottery pick? No way. Now, look, I know Jet Howard is not much of a defender. I got it. But you watch Howard shoot the ball. You watch the crossover he has, the quickness with which he goes about it. I kind of looked at him and thought, this guy's like a 10 to 15 pick, somewhere in that range. But they say Bufkin is the better pick. Look, I watched him in person three times this year, and I thought he was had an NBA game. Did I think it was like top 15? No, I didn't think it was top 15, but I thought it was definitely NBA draftable. Yikes. I give him a lot of credit. I give him a lot of credit. He obviously must have gone out and impressed people in his combine work. And then who the heck was the player we were talking about the other day who decided not to attend any team invitations? I can't remember who it was. But there is this deal now that has been going on, and this really, I'm going to throw out a name out there, and it's not his fault at all. It's Mitchell Trubisky. What made Mitchell Trubisky so attractive to teams? He put together a really good season at North Carolina, his only season really playing, and he played well. So the tape was limited to the 13 games he played. And there are people who are agents, for example, that feel that if you can put down some good tape, less is more. The more tape you put down, and the more warts that may show up. And, you know, Jack and I have talked about this. Jack Ham and I have talked about this with certain players. Like, hey, you know, had a really good year, didn't put down tape that's going to show as many warts. Guy's going to be a higher pick. I mean, we've talked about that. And sometimes you wonder, like, and there are one or two prospects in that were going for the NBA elected not to Elected not to work out for teams after the combine. That put up some good combine work. It's like, okay, time to shut it down. So we'll see. We'll see what how it plays out tonight. The impact of the NBA draft is not the same impact as the NFL draft. That's an obvious statement to make. But you have to be smart about it. And to be honest with you, the Sixers in the so-called process, all those years hit a grand slam with Joel Embiid and struck out on everybody else. They absolutely did not take advantage of all those high draft picks. You have to be able to evaluate talent at where it fits. And I will admit, the Sixers over the years, they're outside of Embiid, you know, you guys have listened to me on this show for years. Outside of Embiid, a pick I loved, and I knew he couldn't play for 2 years. I loved the pick. You know, I didn't like all the other picks at all. I was like, what? I don't get it. Why'd they pick him?
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Care, routes 11 and 15, almost Wharf online. SunburyMotors.com, Ford Kia Hyundai, best in new inventory, great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors guarantee. And terrific service department that backs it all up every step of the way. All at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. And online at sunburymotors.com. And the outstanding Mike DeCourcy joins us. Mike, how you been?
I am well, Steve. How are you?
Doing well. Thanks for asking. Appreciate it.
You bet.
Okay, so here we are. It's draft day. Did anybody keep their name in the draft that played college basketball last year that surprised you?
I think the one that probably surprised me the most was Chris Livingston from Kentucky, a player that I thought had first round, maybe even first half of the first round potential, but wasn't nearly developed to that point. Didn't shoot the basketball that well, didn't really find his rhythm as a college player, even as a contributing player to a winner till the second half of last year. I thought he could have come back this year and been terrific in 2023-24 and been, like I said, somewhere in the first round, maybe even top half of the first round. And I don't know what advice he's been getting. Look, Jordan Poole just got traded for Chris Paul. And Jordan Poole was a player that I thought would not be selected in the first round, and that I knew had first-round talent. I was wrong. He barely squeezed into the first round, and it's worked out beautifully for him. So if Chris gets taken the first round tonight, I will announce that I'm wrong. I'm sorry. I got it wrong. But I don't think I'm going to be wrong.
No, I don't think you are either. And I was with you on Jordan Poole. I felt like, hey, NBA talent, but, geez, I didn't think he'd be a first-round pick. And he's made it all pay off to his credit. Were you surprised that Shea Weigt didn't come back for one more?
No, I think that for Oscar, it was a question. I mean, he'd been in college for 4 years, and it was a question of when, more so than what he could add or whatever. And he'd already shown that he was the best college rebounder of the last 50 years. But the things that he doesn't do well, I don't know that he's going to learn them as fast, if at all. He's not going to learn them as fast in college as he would there, because the game that he'll ultimately have to play is the game that they're playing in the NBA and the G League, the 24-second game, the way they spread the court, the way they run pick and roll, all of that. You can approximate it in college, but he needs to learn it, and he needs to learn it pretty quickly if he's going to make a living there.
You and I both watched Jed Howard and Kobe Bufkin this year, and Bufkin is the guy that, at least on mock drafts, is the one that's rated higher. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think the reason that Kobe is rated higher is because he projects to play multiple positions. He can be a point guard in the NBA with some time. He's got the ball skill, and he certainly has the dynamism. And Jed is a little bit more stationary, doesn't have the ball skill as much. He's going to be a shooter at heart, and he's got to make shots. He can go past people, but he can't create in that sense. I mean, he can use his dynamism to get past somebody, but he doesn't break you down the way Kobe can. And I think that's the difference between those two players. Jed's got great positional size, though. I mean, if he buys in the way his dad did back in gosh, could it really have been 1994? If he buys in the way his dad did, he can be a significant NBA player. But it's going to take some work, and I'm not saying it's beyond him. I'm just saying that there's a lot of work for him to do between here and excellence in the NBA.
How do you look at Jalen Hood-Schifino?
Well, what I like about Jalen is that he has the ability to get by the initial defender and then play from 15 feet. And that's a unique, I shouldn't say unique, that's an uncommon skill. Most players, when they get by, they have to go deep to be dangerous. They have to go all the way to the rim if it's possible, or they have to go all the way to the middle of the lane and force that help there for them to be dangerous. He can play significantly from 15 feet because he's so accurate from that spot. I mean, he's not Nikola Jokic in that situation. I've never seen anybody who shoots the ball like he does from 13, 14 feet. But when he gets there, he'll have the option in the NBA to kick out more than he did at Indiana. They didn't do a lot of off-ball action for – they only had one shooter, and they didn't do enough off-ball action for him when Jalen got to that 15-foot spot. That's something the NBA will take significant advantage of, and I think it'll work for him. I do think he has a chance to be a very good NBA point guard.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think he does, too. He shows all the signs of it. How do you view the big man in the NBA, and how do you view the big man in college basketball, the way they are taught in college basketball, versus how they need to play in the NBA?
You know, I think it starts really with how they're taught prior to even high school. One of the advantages, especially with big players in Europe, is that they teach you the whole game.
Right.
And they have the academies and the system to do that. And they don't do that here. You're big, they stick you by the bucket. Say, get the ball, put it back in. And that's a disadvantage for the American big guy. Secondarily, the disadvantage for the American big guy is what you might call it the James Wiseman quandary, which is when you're that size and you learn the full game, and you have that much ability, everybody's has anointed you before you've done anything, and you get the idea, like James did, that you don't have to do anything.
That's
you don't need to work. You don't need to get better. You don't need to, when you get to the league, you don't have to work hard. James Wiseman should be one of the best players in the NBA right now. He's been certainly one of the best young players in the NBA. But he's not, because he never bought into the idea that you have to really work at it. That's the thing about people don't understand about LeBron and Kevin Durant and Chris Paul and guys like that. It's, look, I'm sure they have a lot of fun with all the money they make and all that, but they are absurd workers. The time they put in the gym to get great and stay great is phenomenal, and it's a difference between those players who make it who as stars and those who don't. James Wiseman has the ability to play at that level, to be because he can handle it, because he can shoot it from deep, because he's 7'1" and can play above the rim. But he's never bought into the fact that to be with those guys to play against those guys in the biggest games, in, you have to be in the gym at the same time in July that they are.
Well, and that's, and I've said that for years. People don't realize that the best players I've seen are all coachable, which means they are figuring out ways to get better all the time. And that's what I think some people just think, just roll the ball out and just go play. And I think some fans think you roll out the ball and go play. It's all the stuff that, that people don't see in the off season that makes them better and makes them great players.
Yeah, one year I was out at the big time tournament in Vegas, and I was at the gym where most of the games were, and there was an afternoon, a hole in the afternoon session. I think it was Green Valley High School, and Tim Gergerich, former pit coach who became a great assistant to Tarkanian at UNLV, and then and then in the NBA for many years, and he was working out some guys, and I believe, if I remember correctly, Kevin Durant was one of them. And I'm just watching this, and I'm like, man, if I got that money, I'm not here. It's not, you know, yeah. I sort of understand the idea, but I also am huge admirer of those guys and Steph Curry and all those players and how much they put in to maintaining the excellence that they attain. It just it's really astounding how much they put into it.
I've only seen highlight packages of Victor Wembanyama. That's what I have to work with. What do you know about him?
Well, you know, I do have a small advantage over that in that I watched him play in the U, not in person. That's my disadvantage. But I watched him play in the U19 World Championships. I think he was probably 18 at the time. It was 2 years ago. He played against the United States in the gold medal game. They fouled him out of the game. He certainly was an impactful player, but they fouled him out. And there were a lot of times when Kenny Lofton Jr., 6'6", about 245, two, maybe more, you know, wasn't exactly a spelt guy, but has a lot of low post skill, and he really knew how to play against that kind of length and size because he just wore him out with his physicality. Yeah. You know, I think it'll be interesting to see. I understand the appeal and the allure. I do retain the slight skepticism, and I may be, you know, that may be blown away in his first NBA game.
Right, sure.
But he's so thin, and he, you know, the incredible skill that he has for a 7'4" player that he has on the perimeter. I mean, he's remarkable ball handler, excellent shooter. Is it that valuable for a 7'4" guy? That's what I'm interested to see. The NBA has come a long way since the 80s when Ralph Sampson was a very similar player, but much stronger. And he was a very, very good NBA player, maybe even for moments at a time, a great NBA player. Mm-hmm. But he wasn't a superstar. He wasn't a transcendent player. He was certainly somebody that I'm sure that Houston was happy they took, other than the fact that he was often injured. But he didn't change the league in the way that everyone thought he would going in. And so I am interested to see what Wembanyama can do.
I think you've echoed pretty much what I've said about him. You can see there's great talent there. I just want to see how it translates on a day-in and day-out basis in the league and how the league adjusts to him, and then whether he can adjust back.
Exactly.
How do you feel about... look, college isn't for everybody, as we all know. I'm not so sure that those that run colleges would agree with that, but it isn't for everybody. How do you feel about the G League guys, like Scoot Henderson, the Thompson Twins, and so forth? And what do you think a move like that to play at G League Ignite, for example, can that help a player? What's your opinion on that?
Well, I think that first of all, there's a difference between the Ignite program that Scoot Henderson was in and some previous players have been in, and the Overtime Elite, which is what you see the Thompson brothers coming from. That's where they played, and so there's a little bit of a difference. I got a good chuckle at the Overtime Elite was described in a article that Seth Davis did, quoting a lot of anonymous NBA scouts in The Athletic, where one of them said that that they thought that the Overtime Elite program was glorified AAU. So I gotta kind of chuckle out of that. The G League Ignite is not. I mean, the G League Ignite is you play against some real dudes who are very good players, and you're not playing in any games that matter ever, but you're playing against real competition, and it's hard. So if you're in that league, you don't play quite the same schedule or have quite the same obligations that a customary G League player does. And you're paid much better, but at the same time, you've got to be up for that competition, or you're going to get overwhelmed.
Right, and there's no question about it. And it's right. In G League Ignite, they play against, like, you're right, dudes. I mean, without question. Have you seen Scoot Henderson at all?
Just in some of the television game that he played against the Wembanyama team. That was really the only exposure I had to him. Looks. Very dynamic. I've not been on the AAU circuit in a couple of years, right. So I did not see him at that level. So that was my one exposure to him. He certainly looked impressive, but there are people who've seen much more of him than I have.
In general, Mike, finally, how do you view the NBA draft? Because we all know how the NFL draft works. How do you view the NBA draft and the 58 picks that they're out there?
Well, you know, I think it's interesting because whereas in the NFL, they're valuing the seventh pick in the round, the seventh round pick. They value that pick. They're going to do the best they can with it. There are times in the NBA where teams take players, European-based players, because they don't want another player. They're like, okay, we'll take this guy. Maybe he gets good and it'll be worth our while, but maybe he doesn't. That's okay because we didn't want to bring anybody in anyway. I think as rosters have expanded, that's been less true, but it's still not totally untrue. So I think that's part of, that's been part of the process. I'm a little frustrated. You know, I mentioned Chris Livingston before, Amari Bailey out at UCLA, kind of the same thing. I'm a little frustrated in that I thought that we would see fewer of these one-and-done players, that go to college and don't become first-round picks and still go because they can get money in NIL. So I thought we'd see fewer of them, and maybe we have statistically, but they're still out there. I'd like to see none of them. I want them to be in the first round where they belong and where it's most lucrative for them. You go into the draft as a first-round talent, as a second-round pick, you may never make up that money that you lost by going through the side door.
Yeah, because it's going to be interesting. I want to see what happens. Now, Lundy's a four-year player. Pickett's a five-year player. They're done. Derek Lively from Belfont. All right.
He's going to be a first-round pick.
He's going to be a top 15 pick.
Yeah, absolutely.
When it's all said and done, and Kathy Drysdale was a former Lady Lion basketball player, works here at Penn State, so.
Right.
So I'm interested to see how he does. I remember watching him when he was a little kid. Like, he can really play. It's like, great. Chalk up another guy that's better than me, and he's four. All right. Mike, thanks so much. Appreciate your time.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You too. Mike DeCourcy, Sporting News, BTN. We'll wrap it up in a moment. We'll find out what Matt learned on today's show. Yeah, we'll find out what Matt learned on today's show. Here it is, Radio 1070 WKOK. So what did Matt learn today? This is our new segment of the show.
So I feel like I'm one of the Danettes now.
Let's find out what Matt learned.
Two things just in this past hour, I'll say. One is Andrew Funk. I will definitely be keeping an eye on what happens with him in the next couple of days. And I'd love to see him in a Sixer uniform. I think he'd be a good fit. Just saying. Well, that's one. And two, I am not the only one who's got some slight skepticism with all this hype around Victor Wembanyama. Because I also agree, you can have all the talent in the world you can want. You can be 10 feet tall. If you don't have any physicality, if you don't have any bulk on you, if you don't put on weight, you're going to get destroyed in the NBA. You cannot, the NBA is going to eat you alive, at least to start. Now, he can put weight on, he can adjust and things like that. But I totally agree. I think that is something out there. Twigs do not have an impact in the NBA.
Haven't I been saying this, though, for the last couple of weeks? Like, he obviously is a talent, but I want to see how this plays out, you know, because he's going to have to be playing against men. I mean, I've been saying that for 2 weeks. I said, look, like, slow down the hype train here a little bit. I mean, I'm kind of taken aback as to why there is, like, the hype is beyond words when it comes to him. He is a wonderful talent. No getting around it. 7'5", could put the ball on the deck. Good passer, shooter, step back. I mean, he's got a lot of things going for him. But he is gonna, you know, he's gonna be facing guys that also know how to play on an every night basis. And I would like to see a body of work first before I jump on any hype train. That's right, I don't jump on any hype trains.
That's true, Mr. 45 heart rate.
Well, I just don't, you know. I like to see a body of work to then really give me. Because, look, have I watched him play? Except for highlights. Matt, I have not watched him play. Except for highlights. Scoot Henderson, the Thompson brothers, I have not watched them play except for highlights. That's it. I mean, the guys I've kind of commented on, we were talking about Black from Arkansas today, you know, with Roger. Well, I saw him play twice in person. So I have a feel as to how he plays the game. Hood Schifino of Indiana, Kobe Bufkin, Jed Howard, these are all guys I saw play. So you have a feel for them as opposed to guys you don't.